Hello, listeners, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 7 of the Startup Capital Podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Lindsay. Today's episode features a topic that we've touched on before in the Startup Capital series, Tallahassee's IT talent shortage. In Season 2, Episode 4, we explored student recruiting as an avenue for building up Tallahassee's IT talent pool. Now we're looking at this issue from a different angle and trying to discover how Tallahassee's IT workforce can be built up from within. How can we take Tallahassee's existing population and develop a sustainable talent pool? One local initiative hopes to do just that. IO Avenue, a partnership between Florida A&M University, Domi Station, and the Office of the Mayor, hopes to provide residents an alternate option in training for IT skills. IO offers a condensed 12-week program designed to give students the training they need to enter a new career in tech. We spoke with IO Avenue Director Ryan Kapinski and CareerSource Capital Region Executive Director Jim McShane to dig into what IO Avenue hopes to achieve and find out how Tallahassee can more effectively grow its IT talent pool. Listen in to learn more about IO Avenue and the challenges facing Tallahassee's high-tech businesses in this episode of the Startup Capital Podcast by Cuddlesoft.
You have a slight advantage when you're from Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee.
We already have successes. We just have to continue to communicate the successes.
I love Tallahassee.
The old adage that the sum is greater than its parts, I think, could be more true for the city of Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee.
I wanted to be the change I wanted to see.
Obviously, we want to be the business capital of Florida.
I love Tallahassee.
I think millennials are really interested in business models that are both socially impactful as well as profitable.
I love Tallahassee.
I think, it takes government, private sector, nonprofit sector, students like yourself, the startup community, all kind of pulling the rope in the same direction to get there.
I love Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee. It's the startup capital.
Well, I'm Lucas Lindsay, the host of Startup Capital Season 2. This is the seventh episode in the second season. We're here today with two awesome people from Tallahassee to discuss technology talent, local business in the capital city of Florida. I'm here with Jim McShane from CareerSource Capital Region, who we'll hear a little bit more from, and Dr. Ryan Kapinski, newly minted PhD from the Florida State University, who we'll also hear a little more from. Thank you guys for taking the time today to discuss this important topic for how we grow and improve the local economy. I'd love to just have you open up with 30,000-foot view who you are and what you're working on that relates to technology talent here in the startup capital of Florida. Jim, CareerSource, what do you guys have going?
So, Lucas, we are looking at sector strategies, and of course, one of the major sectors that has a lot of demand jobs right now is the IT sector. So we started off this year with a get-together of businesses, education, and economic development and workforce development to have a discussion about what are the obstacles to the local businesses hiring people with the talent that they're looking for, and what kind of obstacles do they have for finding the talent. And we have a full report that came out of that that showed there are some disconnects, both in education and also in the business's expectations, and that our hope is that in the near future we will be gathering these folks back together in order to really start to put together a plan on how do we address this in a way that's going to be productive for our region.
Yeah, and I think that we're really going to dig into a lot of that data here, mm-hmm. and it's great work that you guys have done to get everyone at the table together. Yep. Could you talk a little bit just at a high level about what CareerSource does typically
sure.
in plugging itself into the workforce development and jobs creation?
Sure. So we're funded by the U.S. Department of Labor, and it comes through the Department of Economic Opportunity here in Florida. And we get about $8 million a year to help people find jobs and to also pay for training. And our board itself is a business-led board, and it can only have a business leader as the chair. And our goal is really to be the facilitator leader of education, economic development, and workforce development together to have these conversations and to help drive the local economy in a positive way. Our board looks at these things. We have partners with the Career Source Florida, which is our overarching policy group from the state. They're the ones that work with the legislature in order to develop policies related to what we see as the needs, what the businesses are telling us, and coming up with policies that will help support the business community in a better way.
Right. It really seems like you're well positioned to be a connector between grassroots groups doing good work, people looking for jobs, large institutions educating folks. But one of the people that has been working at the grassroots level to educate and empower people, I know Ryan, at Tech Education has been a passion of yours. Give us a little introduction into what you've been doing in Tallahassee and what's on the horizon for you.
Sure. Yeah. So I actually successfully defended my doctoral dissertation about a week ago. So I'm really glad to be done with that.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
And now I'm transitioning into being the director of IO Avenue, which is a new code academy here in Tallahassee, which is really in partnership with Domi Education, with FAMU, and with the Office of the Mayor. And the idea is that we really start filling the void of talent education here in Tallahassee. It's really interesting because we started the effort of making sure that our workforce is talented and skilled a few years ago when I started a student organization called Technology, and we did it for fun. We really just did Ruby Nights on Fridays where we just learned new languages, new programming frameworks.
And that organization, Technology, that's at Florida State?
Yes, that's at Florida State. It's now called Technol. They are the organizers behind HackFSU, which I think last year had over 300 participants. And all those individuals from all over Florida and even the nation come to Florida State and Tallahassee and really build cool stuff for a whole weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they load up buses full of people.
Yes.
Pick people up from Miami to Orlando, Atlanta. Drive them here for
and,
that event.
And getting all that talent here is important. And so the idea now is that we elevate our workforce development programs that we have here in Tallahassee to have more options for both young talent and a bit older talent that wants to rediscover their career or redevelop their skill set.
Yeah. Well, I think it shows a lot of commitment that you would come out of your PhD program and then invest yourself in developing talent. I know you have a real passion for it. You even do some things, I think, with youth at your church, right?
Yeah. So for my Temple Israel, I actually do a robotics club. And we have middle schoolers. I think the youngest member is like 8 years old. And he's hacking on Arduinos and building robots and showing me all this cool stuff he's doing with Legos. And it's really like it's inspiring to see that the youth is actually motivated themselves. We don't have to push them to be interested in these technologies. And all we have to do really is give them the resources and the guidance to further develop this and really stay in Tallahassee to actually do that. So it is exciting. I don't think I was ever going to be an educator, but apparently I am now. And it's exciting.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. And it is cool to see people so motivated to learn better themselves, improve local economy, improve outcomes for their family and their community. But it also seems like, Jim, that the businesses are motivated to try and hire folks with technology skills. You mentioned that you corralled a group, put them all at the table together, really trying to figure out from a true data perspective, what is the demand? What do we need? What have you guys found through your efforts at Career Source or through participating in things like the Tech Hire Initiative driven by the mayor's office here in Tallahassee? What have you found from a data perspective about demand and what we need?
Well, it turns out that our IT demand is probably second to healthcare. And one of the things that we look at is Help Wanted Online, which our partners DEO post every month. And right now, the number one is, of course, registered nurses. But number two is computer systems analyst. And it shows that online ads in May of 2017, it's usually a month or so behind, 192 positions are open and their businesses are looking for people to fill it. So
192.
And that's for three counties. So that's only Wakulla, Gadsden, and Leon.
Right.
So so that tells us a lot that the demand is there. And then what we did when we had our focus group is trying to try and find out where is the misalignment, because obviously there is one. And some of the things that came up is the education folks said they don't have enough qualified teachers. So what you're doing with the mayor's office and what we're doing at Domi, to me, is starting to fill that gap. And businesses in a classroom, a few business partners are currently looking into classroom to talk about what's needed. So one of the things we're starting to do is introduce in the K-12 school system that we're really about career advising, and what we need to do is get this message out to the parents and the young people that these are careers that you can make good money in and that they're in demand in our area right now. Mm-hmm. And so part of it is to realign our school system and the teaching to be able to start to support what the business community is doing. And that's really what our system across the state is doing now with what we call sector strategy, trying to make sure that for the area that we serve, that we're spending our federal dollars in training that go to things that will help people get jobs right away. And our goal is really to get somebody from the time they walk into our career center to the time they get a new job as short a time as possible.
Right. Now, but presumably the number of 192, that particular number is probably focused on filling jobs for adults, right? 18 plus adult age
18
individuals?
18 plus probably, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they would receive training from a university setting or maybe a non-traditional accelerator program like an IO Avenue.
Well, but see, in the coding world, my peers across the country, there's some cities in Kentucky where the whole city is free for anybody to go into coding, even if they're 8 or 10 years old. And they're finding success in that. And so I really get to worry about us worrying about the age of the person and think we need to start thinking about what are the capabilities of that person and why would we want to hold them back if they're able to do something similar to what you're doing with your church in trying to make sure that these kids realize they have some opportunities to do some things that are very unique and innovative.
Right. So what you're saying is we need to build like a holistic pipeline.
Yep.
From early education,
yep,
all the way to high school, college education, and beyond.
And beyond.
So there's probably a variety of different partners that would break off different pieces of that in the community. Ryan, who have you seen working on tech education, whether it's groups like TechNOL or folks embedded at K-12 schools? I mean, what do you see going on in Tallahassee to solve that?
So prior to IO Avenue, there were several efforts to really step up tech education in Tallahassee. So TechNOL does free workshops. Technology Grows, which is a organization started by Chris Dietz, also did .NET, had also some free and paid workshops. But the efforts were always a bit disconnected from each other. And what we're doing right now, especially with the mayor's office and Florida A&M, is really bringing all of that together, because I think that's where we're really strong. And that's why we're also partnering with CareerSource Capital Regional to really bring everyone into one place. And so IO Avenue is focused on the adult side for now. But FAMU is actually working on K-12 and really expanding the whole pipeline, as you were mentioning. So I do believe that, yes, age is just a number in this case.
Right. And I know that Florida State and FAMU both are working with CodeCraft Works, Megan Bunnell's mm-hmm. organization, doing summer camps for kids to expand access K-12. So like you said, there are a variety of efforts going on. But what, Ryan, what do you think led to – what's the impetus for IO Avenue? I mean, what's the thought process for getting something like that started?
Well, so what we realized – and there's really a personal thing, and then there's a community-level thing. What we realized is that universities are not necessarily preparing graduates for the skills that are needed in the workforce, especially the local workforce. And the problem is that the system is actually not really designed to do that anyway, because technology really develops rapidly. And to do that on a curriculum basis, that's really difficult. And that's where we believe that we can augment and actually complement the university system, that we're the lean and agile one. And really do the latest and greatest technology education. But the university has to be there, because the STEM skills and the basic humanity skills that a university creates in students is definitely needed. But there are also adults that have been working maybe a job for 15 to 20 years that want to redevelop their career or change their life, really. And there's not really a suitable program to reach the underserved communities or these adults that have been in the job market but just want something bigger and better. And that's really also what IO Avenue is focusing on, is to really provide an avenue for tech education for both young talent that is recently graduated from a university or still in the university, or from the underserved populations in our community.
Yeah, Jim, do you see from an employer's perspective that employers want programs like this to exist? Do they see a need for it?
Yeah, they did. And in our discussion with them, they see the need and they support what we're trying to do here. And I just totally agree with what you just said, because at this point in time, we have an underserved community that to me is sitting there with potential that is just unlocked, needs to be unlocked. And that's what these programs can do. And the fact that, especially with Code Camp, and, you know, I'm an old guy, so coding and getting a badge was like totally, I didn't know what that was a couple of years ago. Now I know what that is, and that's where the value is, and that's where the employer sees that if somebody is able to earn that badge, they have the competency. And there's even a shift in the national university side towards competency-based learning and not so much on credit hour earning. So I see that as something that also is starting to take hold, because a lot of times, and you alluded to it, a lot of times the person hasn't been taught the human interaction skills, and so they get to a job and their boss gives them something that's criticism of what they're doing or not doing it quite right, and they just get up and quit instead of accepting that and moving forward. And so those skills are necessary to be taught, and that's what the university does bring to the table.
And I also want to add that whole concept of a badge is like a really awesome analogy, because that's really what we're trying to focus on now, because most of the traditional educational system is you get a diploma, you have credit hours, but not everyone is meant to go through that. Right, some folks actually have to go through a 12-week program that is more accelerated and gives them a badge, and they can still do the job equally or maybe even better as someone that went through a 4-year education. Not everyone can afford a 4-year education, and not everyone is built to do that. So I think that the whole concept of having options for our community to really better themselves and our community as a whole is really needed.
Yeah, and it seems like what it kind of goes back to is a sort of trade school model that used to exist, still does exist for some trades here in our country. And it seems like a lot of times those are now housed within a state college or community college environment, not always, but often. Do you see analogies to that sort of thing?
At the national level, I'm sure you've been reading that the trend at the federal level is to do apprenticeships. Well, when you think of apprenticeships, most people think of them as being A, union, which not necessarily true, about half of them are not, and B, they think of them only in construction industry or something related to that, bricklayers, et cetera. Instead, what we're trying to do, and what I'm trying to do actually in this area, is start to get some of our healthcare providers to realize that for their technicians, they could do an apprenticeship program within the hospital. Same with IT. They could be doing an apprenticeship program. Part of that on our end is that if they hire the person with this apprenticeship kind of pathway, then what we can do is we can actually pay for the training. So that's what people don't realize, is that we're a great resource for some very innovative ways on how do we get people so that at the end that employer has somebody that's valued and that has a job and that the job stays and that the person is able to stay.
Right. And it seems like the apprenticeship model works so well with technology and how you learn technology skills. I mean, Ryan, it seems like it's always so hands-on and you're learning as much a process and a mindset as anything.
Yeah, so, I mean, learning code is a craft. It's really an art, I want to say. And it only gets better with hands-on experience. It's like fixing an engine or building a house. You have to learn by doing. And that's really, I think, where we're going to be strong is our curriculum for IO Avenue is very hands-on. It even teaches agile methodologies like weekly stand-ups and really try to simulate as much of the real job as possible while they're learning. That way, once they join an employer or a company, they're a valuable member of that organization with real-world experience.
Right. And it seems like the cool opportunity, if you look at it from the perspective of building a truly collaborative ecosystem, is that IO Avenue has the opportunity to train people in the way that you described, but through a partnership with something like a Career Source, if that can come about, those apprenticeship model can be further incentivized in a way that IO Avenue couldn't do alone because it doesn't have the financial resources to do that by itself. So I think that it's good to see these sorts of groups working in unison across the community to drive growth and to make things happen. My question, Jim, to you would be, you know, based on some of the data and the numbers you're seeing, what do you think are reasonable goals to set over the next few years for the number of people we should try and train, or how many of the 192, based on your experience, can you fulfill in a year or 2 years?
We're having a hard time because right now we're sitting at under 5% unemployment. And what that really means to the business community is that they're going to find it harder and harder to find people, or they're going to have to steal people from other places and pay them more in order to get them to come across. So it has an impact on the bottom line for the business itself on what are they paying and are they competitive, and also the fact that with such a low unemployment rate, it's going to be tougher in order to find people that they want. So, and one of the things I try and encourage the businesses, you know, a lot of them will put into their job descriptions when they posted it online with Employ Florida that they want 5 years experience. Well, you just cut off a whole bunch of folks that you could actually hire. And so part of our incentive or what we're trying to talk to the business community is, okay, so if you're going to hire three or four techs in the next year, can you at least take one of them out of the university that doesn't have the experience and give them the experience, mentor them, help them understand what it is to be in that particular business, and see if we can get some commitments from some of the local employers to do some of that.
Right, and then maybe they can invest in the skills of that future employee through programs like IO Avenue, which create accelerated learning environments.
Yep.
So it makes a lot of sense. Ryan, how many people a year is the goal for output for IO Avenue in the short term?
So in the short term, our first cohort will approximately have 30 to 40 people for both of our programs. So IO Avenue really has two programs. The on-ramp program, which is really for the absolute beginners that we teach the basics of computing and terminology that is really common to technology education. And then the highway program is the 12-week intensive software development full stack program. And so the first cohort will have 15 hopefully each. And that will ramp up. So we estimate anywhere between 50 to 75 software engineers in the first year.
And you know, how do you go about sourcing, finding people?
So it's actually interesting. So initially when we started IO Avenue a few months back, under wraps really, we imagined that we would actually have to go out and really tell everyone and convince them this is needed. And then once we launched it during our Nashville trip with the Chamber, we started getting signups for the wait list like crazy. Right now, we have over 250 signups for both programs. And the demand is intense. And then once we actually released the pricing of these programs, the folks actually accepted it and said, okay, sure, it's an alternative to a higher education. So we are willing to pay somewhat of a premium price. It's still very competitive and affordable compared to other programs that range anywhere between $14,000 and $21,000 for 12 weeks or sometimes 24 weeks. But so the folks actually came up to us. And that actually shows there's not only a demand from the business side, but there's also a desire and a need from our community to have options for educational programs such as IO Avenue.
Right, but 250, we have to presumably vet, make sure those people are a good fit. I would think that you guys, Jim, at CareerSource, are always thinking about how to match people up.
Yep.
And how do you go through that process?
Well, we actually have our talent acquisition specialists actually do the matching. They are set out by sectors. So we have two people that are totally into IT and making sure that that sector is getting the kind of folks that the businesses are looking for. And of course, with Employ Florida, that's across the whole state, so the business can recruit from other places through our system. And we look for the talent, and we also go outside of Employ Florida to Indeed and some of the other places to do recruiting to find people that are willing to fill those positions. So we do that job matching on a daily basis. That's what we do, and our goal is placement. That's the governor's goal. That's our goal. How many people can we place in a year? And last year we placed about 7,000 people that came through our system in the three-county area in jobs. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty good.
Part of it is broadening it out to a larger region, and we're partnering with our counterparts in Georgia because a lot of people come over that line every day. How do we start to maximize that for our business community too?
Right. So if we can increase that pipeline and output, we can increase the quality of the outcomes.
Absolutely. And attract businesses.
No, and I mean, in terms of new businesses, there's been a lot of effort and resources put into not just attracting businesses, but helping create new startups.
Yep.
Ryan, you're engaged a lot in the startup community. I mean, if you had a startup business, and I know you do contract and you do create products in the technology space, and you had to hire, you know, 4, 5, 6 engineers right now, I mean, would you have a problem?
Well, I couldn't even hire one. I had a project or a prospective project, which was an iOS app. And I just wanted one more engineer to help me offset that actual workload for that app. And I couldn't find it. I couldn't find one iOS engineer that was meeting the standards of what I was looking for. And those weren't 5 years of experience. Those were like, can you code? Yes or no.
Yeah.
Really, like
can
really,
you get the job done?
Can you get the job done in a timely and in a timely manner and with quality? And I couldn't find that. And so it was really at that point where I realized we have to make a change in Tallahassee. So and we also know that small businesses make up a large proportion of the economic development in this region and really nationally. So in addition to incentivizing large anchor companies to relocate by having a vibrant and diverse talent pool, we also need to make sure that we have a talent pool for us for our startups, which right now we're doing better, and our community is really a young entrepreneurial community. It's, I want to say, really 4 or 5 years old, although we've had businesses for a long time, but really the startup movement is 4 or 5 years old. And so we have growing pains now because now we have some funding available. We have a great incubator, Domi. But now we need talent.
Right. And in terms of, so speaking to iOS specifically, mm-hmm. I mean, if you were going to, say you found someone who maybe they could code mm-hmm. if they were taught to, mm-hmm. is there a training program for something like iOS locally?
Well, so I was self-taught for iOS. I used online resources and kind of did a mix and match of resources. Not every individual is as equipped to do that. Sometimes they need a small push. There was a desire, though, because we did a free workshop for iOS development, just a very introductory workshop. And it was a full audience. There were at least 30 people that stayed the whole workshop, which was a 6-hour workshop on a Friday night or something. So there's definitely an interest in that. And iOS is actually a really well-paid position. Most of it is $100 an hour or up.
Right.
And so I think there's a huge opportunity to really turn it around in Tallahassee, especially since our living costs are somewhat favorable compared to San Francisco. If you go to San Francisco, you rent a shoebox for $5,000 a month. Here you can have a very nice apartment for $600 to $700.
Yeah.
So combine that with, you know, an environment that really wants you to succeed, and it's a good match.
Yeah, I saw a couple of days ago the CEO of Y Combinator in San Francisco, Sam Altman, tweeted that he feels that they're just about to cross the threshold in San Francisco where the value of YC's network is no longer worth the housing and living costs of the San Francisco Bay Area, which is a pretty significant statement for the CEO of YC to make. So that is an opportunity that other communities like us should try and capitalize on.
And actually Zapier, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but Zapier is a very innovative company that's also located in San Francisco. And they would pay their employees, or they are paying their employees $10,000 to move anywhere they want and to work remotely.
Oh, they're actually incentivizing them to leave.
Incentivizing them to leave, which is unheard of because San Francisco is like the hotbed of innovation. But what they realize is that the local policies and the housing shortage that they have result in like astronomical costs. All of the VC money in San Francisco is going to landlords. We don't have that issue in Tallahassee. So all we really need is jobs to fulfill and talent to create. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, it does seem like that's what we're going to do. It seems like you guys are well positioned to work together, work with other programs, create new things in the next few years to make this happen. I think it's been a good kind of wide-ranging conversation about the state of tech talent, what our needs are, and what's on the board for the future. Thank you, Jim, for taking the time to be here today.
Happy to be here, and I thought it was a very engaging conversation. Very good.
And thank you, Ryan, for doing what you do. Congratulations again on getting your doctorate from Florida State.
Yeah.
And we're happy to have you in this community.
Yep. Thank you. Happy to be here.
This has been a recording brought to you by Cuddlesoft, the idea-driven developers. For more on Tallahassee's startup community, the business of technology, and the latest in software development, visit www.cuddlesoft.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next time for the next edition of the Startup Capital Podcast.